If you can address the underlying interplay between genes, environment, and triggers, and i.e. the manifestation, that being leaky gut, you can stop the autoimmune process. And that is very consistent as far as what I see from a patient-to-patient basis, if you're willing to put the work and energy and effort into it.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. Oh, I'm so excited to be back. I can't believe another week has gone by. I don't know about you, but does it seem like time is speeding up? It does for me, but then it feels really slow. I don't know, really weird times now. I have got an awesome guest, and I want to jump right in because he and I can just chat and chat. I was so thrilled to find him. He actually reached out to me. His lovely assistant reached out to me. And when I learned his background, I was all on board because I am really constantly searching for what I'll say very flexible and people with points of view that allow it to be, you know, well, I think, hey, that's possible. Let's explore it. And that's what Dr. Ian Holloman does. His primary focus is to help his patients achieve their health goals through natural methods, including functional medicine. And, you know, I'm a big fan of functional medicine. Helped me uncover so many things in my past that led me to how I ended up with an autoimmune condition. And then also, once I found that out, showed me the path out. So that's the critical thing, what I love about functional medicine. And he's all about the ease of care and empowerment of the patient. I'm going to his bio more in a little bit, but I want to get him on because this is just awesome. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ian.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm super excited to be here.
Now, one of the things that I really want to talk about, and you are an expert in, is what I call the root cause. So many times you go and you get a diagnosis, and mine came, and I'll say to me, when it happened out of the blue, in retrospect, in hindsight, I could see how everything for the past couple of decades had led up to that result. But when I got the diagnosis, I was like, what are you talking about? Everything was fine until 5 days ago. And I know that's not the case. I wanted to talk about root causes because, like I said, oftentimes as the patient, we go in and they just give you the diagnosis and they might give you a bunch of meds or something, but they don't really help you uncover, like, well, how'd you end up here?
Yeah. And the diagnosis is one thing, but to actually sit there with a healthcare provider and have them lead you by hand and say, you know what, here's what you have. You have something called an autoimmune disorder. And what that means is basically there's three requirements, which are genes and the predisposition of genes. And we don't get a lot of choice on those, although there are some things we can do to the alterations of our genes. And then there's these environmental issues, and then there's triggers. And very, very commonly, right, we're not getting that kind of, hey, let's take a breath and let's actually talk about what this means, because your immune system has now become disorganized. And if we can understand the, you know, through the lens of lifestyle, through the lens of your diet, through the lens of what these triggering issues are, you can actually start to understand how you're going to take care of yourself better moving forward, instead of, there is the diagnosis. That's where care has now basically stopped, because we have a diagnosis. And then since this is a lifetime condition, you need to actually take that biologic drug or the prednisone or whatever it is. And there's not a lot of room left over for that interaction, that dialogue. And it's very one-sided. And that's obviously, me as a patient, you as a patient, very frustrating.
It is very frustrating when we feel like so much. When you get a diagnosis, I'm not always sure there's that moments of understanding, not just the physical impact of it, but it's an emotional shock. Especially when, at least with my diagnosis, I was immediately then, the body language was very sad on the physician relaying the message to me, as well as then a whole litany of stats that were really not very impressive on the positive side.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh. And then on top of that, you get to be in a sterile room and they've got the lab coat on and it's all this, you know, and it's so dry many times. Whereas if you can bring humor, you can bring love into that relationship. You can say, hey, let me give you some vitamin H, which is hope, right? That, you know what, if we can do this, this, and this, your quality of life is not only going to be better, but it's the research that's out there can actually say, we may be able to get a handle on this condition without having to progress through, you know, these courses of drugs and things get more intense and you get more autoimmune diseases. I mean, even so 50% of people, another statistic that get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease already have another autoimmune condition. And that's, you know, again, that'd be a depressing stat to hear if you're sitting there with the provider, unless they were saying, but you know what? You know, the leading researchers out there actually are saying in published research that you can stop this process if you can go in and figure out how the immune system has become disorganized. And then again, what are we going to do about that? You know, you can ask that question, why, and then it becomes how. So you can get those two pieces figured out. That's life-changing for someone, and especially someone that's looking up to you as a provider to say, here's how we can go about this.
Absolutely. That's what we're looking for, at least in my case, when I put my medical team together, and it didn't happen overnight. As I'd told Dr. Egan previously, fired a few people in my history here, and I think that's okay. You got to find the right fit. Well, for me, someone who would work with me as an intelligent human being on the other side, known as the patient, that I know what I want my life to be. There were certain things, choices I was given, like this choice isn't going to work for me. What else will work for me? And I think that's critically important to be a team. Now, I want to talk first about genetics because are there stats where there's certain genetics that are more likely to have an immune system that goes awry?
Yeah. So probably the biggest one it's a bit of a buzzword, and I think a lot of your listeners will have heard of this, or hopefully they'll start to get more educated about this, is and the most common, what we call single nucleotide polymorphism, or a SNP. And this is kind of like a slight alteration into your genes that's relevant to autoimmunity, is a gene called MTHFR. And what that is really you'll get these kind of additions or deletions to genes. And you've got two locations in there. We call them alleles. And what happens is if you get kind of decreased activity in those areas, you start to, like, for example, not detoxify as efficiently. Well, one of the environmental cues that is very, very highly associated with autoimmunity is toxicity. And that could be from plastics. That could be from pesticides and herbicides. That could be from metals. There's all these things that we basically bioaccumulate. And as mammals, we're kind of higher up on that food chain. So we actually get persistence of these chemicals in our body. If it's kind of altered genetically, we can't get rid of those toxins and they start to build up. And that process becomes an irritant to the immune system. So MTHFR really does something called methylation. And methylation is, again, one form of detoxification, and it requires specific B vitamins to do that. So basically, we don't have to get into the heavy details of it, but it does then mean that a very high percentage of people with autoimmunity actually have this alteration in their genes. They're going to need specific activated B vitamins, which will actually help them with that detoxification process, which is part of the puzzle that we need to figure out to help people, again, address their root cause issues, but make sure that their body is starting to get into that kind of self-healing, self-regulating place.
And I'm glad you bring that up. It's I just in my own mind, I was thinking about MTHFR, because when I was first diagnosed, I was given a medication that you were supposed to take folic acid with, a lot of it, to balance it out. But what was interesting to me, it was only a year later that someone else said, we need to check your MTHFR. Perhaps the reason that you're not doing as well as we expected is that you're not assimilating the folic acid correctly. And sure enough, the original time when I was given the medication, no one mentioned there was a relatively inexpensive test, genetic test you could take that would tell you what kind of folic acid works best in your system. And to me, that gets so frustrating. And that's where I like functional medicine, because it's more holistic in my mind, because I'm thinking with the person I was, the medical provider I was with at that time, I'm thinking at the time, well, this is the best that it got. But I realized there was so many little like, oh, you mean there's this very relatively inexpensive genetic test that could have told me that for a year, all of the folic acid I was taking was not being correctly used within the body. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And again, we're, you know, doctors are taught, hey, look, there's this fortification process and people are eating bread and other things that actually have these vitamins sprayed on there. And so they're going to get, you know, most of those and that's going to be okay. Or people will say, oh yeah, you know, take your multivitamin, but they don't appreciate, again, that there's these subtle differences with people that they do need potentially an enhanced level of nutrition for the specific issue they have. And it can be very, very cheap. You know, we talk about B vitamins and then there's like vitamin D. There's these things out there that they're not big bucks and they can dramatically impact the course of someone's disease and how well their immune system is functioning. Now, you had said statistics and do know statistically that those people suffering from Hashimoto's, which is the number one cause of hypothyroidism, right, an autoimmune disorder, about upwards of about 90% of people with Hashimoto's will have at least one change to their methylation genes. And MTHFR is one of those methylation genes. There's other ones, but that one is probably one of the big ticket items. And a mentor of mine said, you know, Ian, you can take these tests and do those tests with people, or you can also just give them methylated B vitamins and just see how they do. And it's like, okay. And I've done both, right? And it just kind of depends on the patient and your interaction. And but the reality is people are just coming to you to feel better. They just want to know that, hey, look, I'm not going to die tomorrow. What can I do right now? How am I going to feel better? How am I going to take control of my life? And for both you and me, we've both been in that situation where it's so frustrating because they're not listening or we're not really feeling like we're on the same wavelength of like, hey, how are we going to, you know, overcome this? And they're like, the prednisone.
Exactly.
You're like, nah, wait, but what else? Like, what can we do? Well, how about diet? Diet doesn't do anything. That diet has no correlation with that. I'm like, okay, well, great. Okay. That's nice that you would say that. But, and then you really start digging into it. You start to understand that actually it has a massive impact.
Absolutely. I think food, the environment, the next comment mentioned was about environment. And to me, I could go a huge list, everything from the quality of the air and making sure my home was mold free to a radical change in my diet. Pre this, I was traveling 200 days a year. I was doing a lot. And so finding the quality food was tough. And so you'd grab a salad. Okay, I'm eating good. I got a salad. And then I realized, well, gosh, what did they put on that salad to keep it looking crispy green? You know, there was so many things I've learned in this healing journey, this what I call the repairing cycle here. Mm-hmm. It was just shocking to me because pre-diagnosis, I had a belief, well, you know, I'm eating salads, I'm eating all this good food, but I wasn't paying attention to the other finer points of like, okay, well, it's a salad you got in an airport or at some other quick place. How has it been processed and all those sorts of things? For me, radical change in environment was also the key for me to begin to leave that inflammation cycle. I was so shocked about that inflammation cycle. I started to radically change my diet, and then I got exposed to something that my body considers inflammatory. I know, just for our listeners here, that it varies with people, but I have a couple ones that really trigger me quickly. I was shocked. I called my doctor immediately and I said, oh my gosh, I feel horrible today. And I was just exposed to this minute amount of this food. I can't believe it. And they said, well, look, when your inflammation was at high levels, you didn't notice that food so much. But now that we got your inflammation down to low levels, even a minute amount of that particular sensitivity, gonna be a big one.
Yep, exactly. Those mast cells were just like swelling up in size and they were just ready to get triggered. And then, you know, bam, they were just primed to kind of release all that histamine and all those other pro-inflammatory chemicals. And away you go again. And that's what I call the aha moment, right? Where people really start to solidify that, whoa, this is real. And you know, we all can benefit from cleanses and doing the reset diets and that kind of stuff. You know, I always do one in January and I always definitely feel better right after the Christmas holidays. But what is, again, not always appreciated is how potent a anti-inflammatory diet for the majority of your calories is to the immune system, and how really, when it comes down to the vast majority of our immune system, are the bugs in our stomach. And so that microbiome, it's like we're tending that garden. If you want to think about your gut like the garden, well, what are you putting into that? Are you going to spray with a bunch of herbicides and pesticides? Are you going to weed it? Are you going to, you know, make sure it has the right soil and sun? And the same thing goes for our gut. We get very unconscious about the day-to-day choices that we make. And I think, again, a lot of the authorities out there aren't doing as well of a job as they could to inspire us to say, hey, yes, you do want to eat vegetables. Hey, you might want to do more lean protein instead of that corn-fed, you know, ribeye. I mean, God bless, it tastes great, but like the ramifications aren't really spoken to. And obviously, I think a lot of, there's a lot of lip service from providers saying, oh yeah, diet and exercise, but guess what? You just have this genetic thing and your mom had it. So you just need to take the pills and good luck.
Yeah, I hate that. Good luck. no one really follows up with you to make sure that you understood what you heard. Because I find this interesting for me, and I love it with my providers because they actually do write out a fair amount so I can remember. Sometimes when you're presented with bad news at the first, I mean, when I heard the word my diagnosis was dermatomyositis, I mean, to me, that was supercalifragilistic. I had never heard the word. It meant nothing to me. And I think that's critically important for providers to understand. We've got to keep retelling sometimes, because first off, with autoimmune, one of the things that happens to a fair number, you get a little brain fog, or maybe it's just fight, flight, or freeze has kicked in and you're not hearing as well. And so being able to reinforce, continually reinforce, and maybe even be the cheerleader behind the scenes of like, bravo, you're eating your broccoli.
Without that, it's so easy to get off track, right? Like, it's the exact same thing for me. I'm a patient too, right? It is no different for me, someone who's, I'm dedicating my life to working with people with autoimmunity. And that's all basically I'm working with now in my practice are these conditions. And I have an autoimmune disorder, right? I have celiac disease. And yet the pressures we get outside on a regular basis for where it be, oh, fast food is not that big of a deal. You can just go and grab something, you know, or you can get packaged food instead of sitting there and taking the time to, you know, make a salad at lunch or take the forethought of being like, okay, where am I going to be at this time? Am I going to have enough water? Like all those little things that eventually can translate into a new lifestyle are very difficult to implement all at once. Right. And that's kind of been my history is, you know, I was told, hey, you have to be 100% religious for gluten-free. And I was, and I felt so much better. And it was about 8 months doing great. And then I came back to set up shop here in Boulder. And I went to a CU football game. And it was just so easy for me to slide back into that groove of, well, whatever, it's just one night, little, you know, bread bowl and chili. And, you know, we're going to have five or six drinks. And then, bam, all my symptoms came back. But like magnified, right? And that's when I, fascinating enough, a week after that, the weekend after that football game, I was at a seminar on gluten sensitivity and celiac disease. And I was like, okay, clearly there's a God here because I am suffering miserably a week after, like still had brain fog, felt terrible. You know, I broke out in a rash, didn't understand what that rash was at the time. And then literally I'm seeing pictures of my rash up on the screen. I'm seeing, and my grandfather had celiac disease. I'm seeing the extra intestinal manifestations that he suffered through. It was an eye-opening experience. And not everyone, unfortunately, gets that to go like, oh, here is your condition. Break it down. Here's what's going on. And so now, you know, gluten-free for 12 years, that has been one of the most fundamental improvements, I think, that I've probably done. And in, even then, you still have all these cross-contamination issues, right? And hidden exposures. And so it's like learning another language almost, where you're going, hey, I did it this way and I'm kind of, you know, been doing it this way, but how are we going to now change our focus and our drive to now maintain this high performance machine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up this cross-contamination, because that's a tough, that's a tough one. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Dr. Ian, because this is the kinds of things that you need to talk to about with your medical team, you know, really be a partner with your medical care provider, not just someone who sits there and doesn't take an active participation in your wellness. You guys all know about this optimization every day. I'll get off the soapbox. I got to get on with these commercials. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm here with Dr. Ian Holloman. He's known as Dr. Autoimmune, by the way, and I just adore him. He holds a master's degree in nutrition and functional medicine and a certification in functional medicine through the Institute of Functional Medicine and functional neurology and neurofeedback. I could go on and on, but awesome guy. And you can tell that he's really up to date and a patient advocate. And that's the critical part for me. He's got to have a partner in this. This isn't about a power struggle. This is about a partnership. I think it's really important.
It is. And there's a lot of ego in the medical field. It is very prestigious to be a doctor. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of energy. And then you also have to then check your ego on a regular basis and be like, well, hey, look, man, you don't understand fully what's going on with that person. What's going on with their life? What are the issues that they have going on? What are the things they're not telling you about? I have found really that as I can, I'm not being necessarily a friend, but I'm actually caring enough to take the time to understand where someone's coming from, to meet them to a place, at the same time being very clear with expectations for my clients about, hey, look, if you want to, let's say, get your condition to remission, here's what you need to do. Or did you know that that gluten exposure could cause inflammation for 3 to 6 months? And that's one exposure, right? So those little things are so important to get people on board with, but that, and that is making sure that you're, you know, you're confident with what's going on, what they have going on. And then they're on board too, right? Because the majority of functional medicine is really lifestyle medicine. It's about those daily choices that we make. We all get to make the choice. What we put in our mouth, what we drink, right? Do we detoxify? You know, do we exercise? What thoughts are we thinking, right? Those are all choices that we have. And there's some, you know, variation there. I know that there's some conditions out there that can make those things very difficult, but it's, we're also making a choice every day to try to show up to be the best version of ourself. And that's really, I think, the mindset that we have to break these chronic conditions.
And absolutely. And that brings us to what we're talking about in a global, like 30,000 foot view, are these triggers. Mm-hmm. So many times you can get it under control. Maybe the flare is, or the initial diagnosis is brought under control, or you have a flare that's going on, such as an accidental exposure to gluten, or in your case, a purposeful one. But mm-hmm. I was a great one at the beginning to think, oh, I can just cheat a little. Mm-hmm. Like, learn, no, I can't.
Yep.
And those are all these little triggers that happen, and they're unique to each individual. So for me, it's always sort of a puzzle piece with my care providers. Well, most people do well on this, but I found that it wasn't just gluten, but there's another grain that's often used in gluten-free products that I'm also sensitive to. Uh-huh. And so it was like, okay.
There's 26 foods that we know about that do cross-react actually with gluten. And cross-reactivity is very similar actually to the mechanism behind autoimmunity, which is something called Müllerian mimicry. And it's kind of where, you know, your immune system gets confused. And as in the case of like celiac disease, where a lot of the original research on the origins of autoimmunity were really done, they found that, hey, you know, if you do consume certain foods and there's enough of an overlap of amino acids between certain foods, and again, your tissues or the tissues that are already being attacked, your immune system may actually now, because it's already ramped up, want to then go and actually now, okay, generate inflammation every time you consume that food. So the other grains are all in there, right? And so especially as you get into gluten-free diets and you get into the just plethora of products out there, you really get into actually some dangerous issues, because not only are they potentially cross-reactive, but then they're refined, added sugars, you know, you start again changing the balance of bacteria in your gut and potentially not in a healthy way, right? And it'd be nice to say, hey, look, all you got to do is just eat sauerkraut and you're going to be good the rest of your life. Unfortunately, people aren't really willing to do that. They want choices. But it's also nice to say, hey, we can potentially individualize your diet so that you do have a little bit more flexibility. And it's not just, you know, broccoli and chicken and sauerkraut, and then, you know, you're going to be happy, right, if you eat that the rest of your life.
Sometimes it feels like that when you get told about the elimination diet and everything else, you're like, really?
And we do those, you know, in our practice. We will do elimination provocation diets. Everyone's practice really evolves over time. I don't do it as heavy-handed and as long as I used to. And I think that's because we've kind of gotten a little bit more some modern testing. Kind of as you do start dialing more into these root cause issues, we can sort of really start seeing some massive changes in people's health within weeks, not really even months, but weeks, when people are doing the right supplementation protocols, they're avoiding certain things in their environment. You mentioned mold, right? That's a huge, you know, root cause trigger that's very commonly overlooked. But when you start hitting those and you correct the excesses and the deficiencies, your immune system really knows already what to do. And so it's that de-stress effect is massive. And I think probably one of the first things that I can tell, I do tell clients, hey, look, you know, we're going to be on the right track with you when your energy levels start to come back and when that brain fog starts to drop down. Those two pieces right there seem to be pretty consistent, that I'm like, yes, now we're definitely doing the right thing for you. We definitely are building some momentum because it is going to take some time, you know, maybe 4 to 6 months to get someone with an autoimmune condition, you know, turned around. And of course, some people don't even realize they have 2, 3, 4 autoimmune diseases. And it's like, well, we're going to focus on this. Great thing is that what we're doing is probably going to impact all of those.
Always saying to people, you know, it's just not a magic silver bullet. It doesn't happen that way. And it's a process of optimizing every day, building on what's working. And I just want to remind everyone that, about 2 months ago, we had Michael Rubino on, a mold expert, about mold in your home and the hidden places it is and the different methods that you'll be offered to eradicate it and how to choose the right one, because a lot of them that are out there are not sufficient. So I just want to, guys, if you heard Dr. Ian mention the word mold being a big one, check out that podcast with Michael Rubino on understanding autoimmune, because he really goes into detail.
And spoiler alert, don't use bleach.
Yes. Yeah,
whatever you do, don't use bleach to clean up that mold. Oh dear.
I always say with mold, leave it to the experts. That's not a place to go cheap, guys, because it's a critical importance.
Yeah, we think about like, oh, asbestos and yes, and these people in these hazmat suits. Well, same thing goes. Like when you really start kicking up the issues, or you start actually getting the mitigation, and sometimes obviously you're talking about, you know, demolition and construction, like for serious, serious issues. It doesn't happen a lot, fortunately, but there's other things that are get underappreciated about how, yeah, well, when you have water constantly on an object, it is going to grow. That's what mold does. It's mold is ubiquitous. It is all over. And that is including people that will have, they don't usually know this, but a lot of times people that have histamine related issues, which can be another root cause problem, even leftovers. You know, that's one of the questions I actually ask people to feel out if we're seeing some histamine related responses. Is do you eat your leftovers, or do you specifically avoid their leftovers? And they don't really even know why they're avoiding it, but it's like, well, yeah, after about 72 hours, those histamine levels really start to jack up, and that can actually then continue to flare your body up. So that just these, again, like we were saying, these little differences can make a huge difference in the long run when we start to make conscious choices.
I'm so glad you brought that up. It wasn't until just a couple of years ago that someone asked me the question about, do you eat leftovers? And when I, you know, after a couple of hours, I was like, no. I mean, I might eat the beginning of the meal and then get busy and eat the end of the meal all within a very short time frame. But I was a leftover eater raised in those time frames, guys, where, you know, they're starving children and other people around the world kind of thing. So eat your leftovers. But I didn't realize that that was a huge hidden root cause of some flares.
Yeah, it is. And that's a big deal. And it's like everything, you know, I find kind of on average about 5 to 8 triggers for people, you know, diet being typically one of them. But to really get this leaky gut or this, or again, if you talk to a doctor, you just tell them, well, I have intestinal hyperpermeability, because a lot of people, they poo-poo that leaky gut, even though it's in the research. Very clear. There's thousands of articles now actually published on intestinal permeability and how important it is. But again, as of today, right now, right, there are no drugs that treat leaky gut. But when they do develop that drug, it will become an ICD-10 diagnosable condition. That's the rub, right? Is that it doesn't have relevance to the medical community because there isn't an intervention that they can then bill insurance for reimbursement. And that is a big deal, right? Because that's why you don't have a lot of acceptance. And it takes time. You have medical doctors, right? That some of the most intelligent people in the world I've ever met are medical doctors. But the problem is that it's the rush model. They have to have a certain volume, right? They're under an HMO. Only certain things are approved. You get all these constraints, and it's not all of their fault. Part of it, they are participating, right? Once you know, then you know. But you do have to find that person that's going to sit back with you and take these pieces apart. Or another good way to say it is there's these layers of the onion, right? How do you peel the layers of the onion?
Absolutely. And then stick to the plan. But stick to a flexible plan. I found for me, when I need to take another quick commercial break, but I'm just going to bring this out here. I found for me that as I started to feel better in little tiny ways, I would cheat. Like, okay, I can just do a little tiny cheat here, a little tiny cheat there. And then pretty soon it adds all adds up into one big cheat. Yes. And then you forget what was that you were doing that was so awesome that was making you feel so much better. So we'll talk about all of these little mind games we play on ourselves too. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and just having an awesome chat with Dr. Ian Holloman, also known as Dr. Autoimmune. And he helps people just achieve the very best health they can through natural methods, including functional medicine, which I'm a big fan of. And he also works with the neurology and neural feedback and, you know, all sorts of other things. He's just open to so many types of opportunities to begin to re-regulate yourself, re-heal. Re-heal, is that a word? I don't know. Anyway. I'm not really worried about healing, Dr. Ian. It's funny. When I was told I was in remission, which I knew probably 2 years before they told me I was in remission, but they said, no, with a wagging finger, now you're not healed. And I'm like, you're not cured. And I'm like, that's okay. I don't care, whatever you call it. I feel good.
Yeah.
it wasn't about, you know, I already knew that things were on the right track. Although I did mention pre-commercial that every so often, I get in this mindset that I'm feeling so great, I can cheat. And I know what that does. It sets me back, except I don't know why I play these mind games with myself, because every time I'm like, darn, I somehow somewhere I knew that was going to happen. But what does it do to our system when we cheat? I know it's not good, because it can also oftentimes take me quite a while to recover.
Yeah. Well, just to kind of jump to the extreme side of that, there is very good published research on, again, the celiac side that shows that people that are on a dedicated gluten-free diet and have been after basically a year of that, and then coming back and reintroducing gluten within the year, within 12 months, I believe it's about 60 to 70% of those people will have already developed another autoimmune disease. So so really there is extreme ramifications of not being compliant with what our diet is. Now, I mean, look, I learned paleo diet from Dr. Lauren Cordain. He's actually in my backyard in Fort Collins. And he's retired now, I believe, but he would kind of use an 80-20 rule, and where it's like, okay, you know, maybe about 15 meals of the week is paleo and 3 meals are not. And certain people can do that and get away with that. But I think what we have to do is use the best available information of lab testing. right? And tracking inflammatory markers, tracking that thyroid, tracking, you know, whatever it is that we know we're kind of, we have some weakness in. And then also really do the regular self-reflection of how am I doing? Check in, how am I feeling? How is my energy level on a 1 to 10? You know, constantly trying to figure out what's going on. Just another quick example would be actually blood sugar. We're routinely actually tracking and monitoring people's blood sugar. And very, very commonly, you'll actually see blood sugar spikes with foods that you wouldn't think are high glycemic or high sugar. But because people have had leaky gut for a long time and they are developing or they have developed a food sensitivity trigger to it, the inflammation from consuming that again, bringing it back in their diet, can actually then trigger their blood sugar to elevate. And we're seeing a huge increase in the incidence of something called diabetes type 1.5, or it's also known as latent autoimmunity to the pancreas. And so the pancreas is actually being attacked as it's being kind of frustrated and exhausted, though the insulin stores people go through and they have these high glycemic, high sugar, refined diets, very, very pro-inflammatory. And then eventually what happens is because that tissue is so overworked, it's itself is sending out signals that then actually bring the immune system in. So a little tip or a trick out there for your listeners is if you do actually have significant blood sugar handling issues, your A1C is high, your fasting glucose is high, but you feel like, hey, look, I eat chicken and salads and and I'm doing all these things that are supposed to be really good for me, but I still have this uncontrolled blood sugar issue, you really should have some additional testing to look and see if there is some latent autoimmunity going on with the islet cells in your pancreas. I guess the big broad answer is, everyone is going to kind of sometimes cheat, I think, from time to times, but everyone's response to that can be very unique. And again, working through your issues, improving your health, figuring out what you can kind of do and not do is really, really important, because your immune system, every time it gets dysregulated, and actually there are these cells called T regulatory cells, and every time it gets dysregulated, it really takes an extended period of time to get that back on track. And that's so frustrating, as again, I think as a patient and experiencing that myself.
What are some things that we know if our T regulatory cells, if I'm saying that right, how would we know to ask our care provider, I could see if I just went into my care provider and I said, what about my T regulatory cells?
You probably get some blank stares on that one. But, they may or may not have actually, been told. I mean, certainly if it's an immunologist, most autoimmune patients never see an immunologist, right? It's really just their primary care. Maybe they go to a rheumatologist. Right. Maybe they go to an endocrinologist if they have Hashimoto's or diabetes. But, the way that we know that you're T regulatory cells are essentially not working efficiently is you've been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. And these cells, they're called FOXP3 CD25 T regulatory cells. And what they are doing is they're the symphony conductors. They are the generals. They're the top dogs. They're the ones that are telling our B cells, which are our antibody cells, to rev up or rev down. And very, very commonly what I see in my practice, and one of the things that was truly a blessing of me doing my master's program, was understanding that even if you remove the triggers from your diet or from your environment, or you correct the nutritional deficiencies going on, like the vitamin D that's so prevalent, right? Your immune system still may not be regulated. And that's why you do need to make sure that we're doing things dietary, supplementation wise, even some lifestyle things that are going to continually stimulate those T regulatory cells to kind of just go, shh, like, it's okay. Everything's cool. We're going to be fine. Because if you're not doing those things on a regular basis, then it's kind of like you're leaving it up to your immune system to kind of do what it's going to do. And it hasn't really been doing it before. It's hard to expect that it's just going to start doing it now again.
One of the things I've been reading more with the COVID, though, and that's where I heard the term of the T cells, is I'm just asking this question because I'm not clear on this, but once they've been activated, don't they kind of seem to have a memory? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, she hasn't had XYZ for a long period of time. All of a sudden you put XYZ in and it goes, oh, I remember that.
Exactly. And those are your memory B cells. So the fact is of when we actually have an infection, an upper respiratory tract infection, for example, since obviously there's so much going on around that in our world, is the amazing thing is that unless you have a severely compromised immune system with, you know, typically a medical condition, you're going to have a memory of, let's say, that infectious organism so that you can, next time you get exposed to it, you're going to be able to bounce back faster. But what happens again on like the T regulatory side is they get conditioned through signals. We call them cytokines, but these inflammatory chemical signals to essentially say, continue doing what you've been doing. This has been the program. But I had kind of alluded to one of these, like vitamin D. Well, vitamin D stimulates those T regulatory cells to actually re-regulate, right? There's another chemical called interleukin-10. Interleukin-10 or IL-10 stimulates our something called Th17 response. And that is kind of like that big blanket of anti-inflammation. So the main thing that stimulates interleukin-10 to stimulate Th17 is beneficial flora. So bugs, the good guys, right? Beneficial lactobacillus and bifidus, and also prebiotics. So fiber, and i.e. that takes us right back to where we started, which was diet. Meaning that if the majority of your diet is vegetable matter, and it, in my opinion, it should be organic, right? And there's ways to kind of get around that, but mostly it should be organic if you can afford that, because that's the fuel that these cells need to produce the chemicals that your T regulatory cells need to actually say, okay, everything's going to be fine. We can now downregulate code orange to whatever code, you know, code blue now, right? So it's not all freak out all the time. And you're, because again, people continue, right? They continue to move in that trajectory where they're going to continue to develop more and more autoimmune diseases. And obviously that's not what we want. We don't want more complication. We don't want more medications. We don't want more loss of quality of life. So vitamin D is huge. Probiotics, prebiotics are huge. And again, I tell my clients this all the time. If you're going to forget to consume your sauerkraut or your kimchi or your sugar-free kefir, if you can handle dairy, you probably should be taking those on a regular basis. And that's just kind of gets into some of these nutrients that are really important. Supplements do actually do something, but it's knowing how to use those supplements, your individual need. And then again, the question is it working? Because by default, since we don't really have a T regulatory test, we're looking at those antibody levels to see that they are actually dipping down over time.
Right. And so it's continued to, I like to say it in a way, when I first was going through this, I felt like I was sort of chasing a bubble. I would feel like, okay, I got that under control. And then the bubble would pop up over there or over there. But for me, after a while, you get used to, at first you felt like whack-a-mole, but then after a while you go, okay, you got this covered. And then what I was talking to Dr. Ian about before the show was one of the great things about this, as you go over time, I like to keep notes on this because I thought I'd remember it.
Well, and I can give you a short list here of all the things that I routinely use as far as for those T regulatory cells, because I'll actually use them while we're supporting someone right off the get-go. Because again, it's a strong pro and strong anti-inflammatory signal. But then also, again, let's say there was a gut infection, there is, you know, a gluten sensitivity, there was an environmental issue going on, or a toxicity issue, maybe we want to keep that going also as part of maintenance. But vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin K, those nutrients are all there to stimulate your T regulatory cells. EGCG, or also that's the extract from green tea. So you can get regular green tea from tea, but you can also get an extract, right? That's decaffeinated, something called alpha lipoic acid. And then, like I mentioned before, there's these probiotics and prebiotics. And so using those in different combinations, depending on the condition, the issues, they're all very healthy and helpful. And the nice thing is that side effect profile, very, very low as far as what we're talking about with that. And really, probiotics can get expensive if you are doing them, you know, high doses. But like I mentioned, gosh, we can go to stores and we can buy cultured foods and we can be consuming those on a regular basis. And that is exactly what the immune system really wants.
when we talk about any of these things like vitamin D, vitamin K, and things like that, there are medical tests. So take those thoughts to your care provider and ask them, will this type of regimen help me? Because there's all different levels. I know some people need high levels of vitamin D and other people live in environments where they get enough from the sunshine. So take those lists and say, hey, healthcare provider,
any of these. And if you're hearing from your providers that, just take your recommended dosage of vitamin D, or if they're not even willing to maybe even test your levels, that should be a red flag to you that, you know what, is this person really spending the time giving me their expertise? Do they feel confident what they're doing? Is there an outcome measure? That's where, the devil's in the details, as they say, right? And that if you're not actually going through a process, then unfortunately, you're floating. And we don't want to feel like we're floating in the environment. That's a terrible feeling, especially when you have someone telling you all these statistics about your autoimmune condition and losing tissue there's some really serious ramifications if we're not taking the condition serious and we're not actually doing that. And it doesn't mean, of course, that we can't have a medical doctor on board, managing medications and have an alternative healthcare practitioner. But the goal and the hope is that they're both in alignment for where you're trying to go and what your goals are. And it's just going to depend on that different patient relationship that you have.
Absolutely. That's why I say it takes a team, and the team has to be able to talk to each other. But Dr. Ian, I could just go on and on. We're down to the last 3.5 minutes, Dr. Ian. It's crazy. Any final thoughts? And then how can people learn more about you and your work?
Yeah. Some final thoughts here is that, you don't have to trust me, but because there's been peer-reviewed evidence-based research, one of the fathers of immunology as far as from an autoimmune perspective is Alessio Fasano. And he said, if you can address the underlying interplay between genes, environment, and triggers, and i.e. the manifestation of that being leaky gut, you can stop the autoimmune process. And that is very consistent as far as what I see from a patient-to-patient basis, if you're willing to put the work and energy and effort into it. It is, I want people to hear that there is hope. There is a possibility. It can feel very, very frustrating. Spouses might be saying things. Loved ones might be saying things. There's a lot of pressure we get because the mainstream dialogue is you have this condition. There's nothing you can do about it. That is not the truth. And it's been published that is not the truth. It's just not being taught on a regular basis. So people want to learn more. We have our website, drautoimmune.com. They can go there. We've got a blog. We're posting regularly. We're on social media channels, and I try to kind of hop on and do Facebook Lives and talk about current events and just, the reminders on a regular basis to say, hey, look, you know what? Yes, with someone else's hope, with maybe some regular inspiration, listening to these great podcasts, that I can keep inspired to stay on the right track, because we all deserve that. And we all need that constant fuel for our soul to keep things going.
Absolutely. And it's drautoimmune.com. We pronounce it doctor, but it's the initials drautoimmune.com. You can check out for Dr. Ian Holloman there, as well as on the social media. And be sure and join us next week for another brand new episode. And stay on track, guys. Optimize, optimize, optimize as we go. Remember, I've talked about this idea of just choose one thing you've heard today and play with it. Don't have to make it drudgery or work. Play with it, give it a try, and then add to it. Everything that you hear, just continue to add to it a little bit at a time, and pretty soon you'll find yourself in a really brand new, awesome place. And so thank you so much, Dr. Ian. Deeply appreciated.
Thank you.
Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.